taken our calendar, our 97740, 97-1294, Donald Simon versus Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. Justice Cook has recused himself from this case, and the case has Mr. O'Brien.
Objection is the procedure and how they went through the shell game, as you call it. My question is, are the objections that you want to lodge, in your judgment, substantive?
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about that. I understand that. I'm talking about the objection that you're making on behalf of consumers that you will make if this goes back.
The objection, well, that's the problem. The objection we have is that we don't know. We don't know the basis of the decision to merge the state. We can't do our job as a result of our not knowing what's the basis of the commission.
So conceivably, after the commission explains it to you, you could have no objection.
That's entirely possible. It's possible that this merger will turn out to be the best thing for my spread, but we don't know now because of the way the commission decided to merge it.
Conceivably, on remand, the commission could find that the issue is moot because they have now supplanted with new GRC rates in 1997, I think, supplanted the rates in question.
Well, in order to come to that conclusion, you have to go back and actually look at the issue. You can come to that conclusion. I submit that that's not necessarily a question of moot. It's a question of, okay, what we did is the right thing in the first instance. On remand, they might have only had to argue problems. We will be able to make
Okay, well, I don't see it that way. I see if it goes back, then the debate, as you wanted to frame it, did we do what was right? And if they say, doesn't make any difference whether we did what we did was right or wrong, because there's a new law in effect now, or a new tariffs in effect now. And then are we right back at it on those?
Well, it isn't a question of tariffs, Your Honor.
Well, it's on the gas recovery rate, I understand.
It's a fluid thing, so you can go back and make changes on a going forward basis. Now, let's turn to case 8, the 97 GPR case. Here, the commission is now coming to the court that we went all along to consider merging the GPR issue in the 97 case. But you can't square the language in the order that they set up in the record.
We can have conferences with our staff, and we're not required to have a public hearing or have hearing. What you responded with, I want to hear your response.
My response to that is twofold. Number one, that's not what the law says. Number two, look at what the commission in the merger order says about their staff. 1922 in the merger order says, well, no, the staff is between you and have discussions. There's just another party, things covered by everybody else. When you get to the commission's briefer, then, oh no, the commission is here to help us understand these cases. This is their job, to provide us the analysis. We don't have to put that on the record. Your Honor, I admit that there's a fundamental consistency for those two positions, which is the case party, or is it the staff? Commission need to be on one side of the ex parte line, but the decision change on the other, they can't straddle the line.
Is the staff recommendation or opinion here the same as, in some ways, as a magistrate's recommendation to a judge? Or different statutorily, but is it the same conceptually, or is it different than that?
I suppose it could be, but in any event, it needs to comply with 49309. The commission can't base its decision on evidence found in the record because this court is not in a position to be able to review the reasonableness of the staff analysis. We can't take the hearing with the requisite specificity if we can't challenge the basis of the statute. There was clearly an analysis done in this case, and the commission references it repeatedly. That's more than synthesis of the evidence for all we know. For all we know, the staff is treating out of the yellow pages. We can't tell. That's the problem. That's why we need the commission to comply with 49309.
Except that I understand your argument about the three cases and the moving around and why you think you were prejudiced in this instance with the way they did things. Except that I understand that. I want to go back to the merits. Your objection to the merger would be, would it not, that rates may not be beneficial under the merger to consumers. Possibly.
Okay. That's not all. I mean, there are other things that could...
Well, we'll go to those in a minute. Let's just stop with that. Didn't the commission in its order not set rates, but said, in effect, that you will have a chance to come in and make the record that you want to object to, if in fact you have objections at that time, in the rate-making proceeding by the merged entity.
That's right, Your Honor, but all of that goes out the window once the commission, in a subsequent proceeding, points back to the merger order and says, oh no, we've already considered that issue. We've done that. At that point, it's raised your comment. At that point, if you were to appeal that order, and the basis of the commission's finding on these considerations that we had previously considered, this court is going to have to look at the 1985 OCC case or the MCI2 case that said that the commission order certainly had the effect of raising your comment.
So you don't think the December 19th, 1996 order that contains, in addition to other language, order that nothing in this entry shall be binding on the commission in any subsequent investigation involving the justice or reasonableness of any rate, charge, rule, or regulation. You don't think that protects you?
We would like to be able to take the commission at their word on that. But when we raised the issue that we thought the commission was addressing by that language in a subsequent case, the commission turned around and said, no, we've already considered that. We don't need to consider that again. Our staff conducted detailed analysis, and those issues are closed. And to that extent, there's nothing to prevent the commission from doing that in the future or any other merger-related issue.
Well, then your argument just isn't that this is a shell game. That's direct subterfuge, you're arguing. They said you could do it, and they wouldn't let you.
The commission said what it said. I can't reconcile the language, but
well, you can reconcile the language with the practice. What did they do? Are you telling me they foreclosed you totally? I don't think so.
When I mean that, we noticed we considered these issues in the merger case, the details that they require of them and regarding the salvation of the gas company, I read that as a foreclosure.
Okay.
Now, case C.
One more procedural question, and then I'll get off the procedure. If we do that, is that an attempt to unring the rung bell? The merger's been consummated, hasn't it?
Again, let me...
Was there any stay?
The question as to whether or not these two companies should merge it was the manner in which that merger would be consummated that was the question. It's not really a case of unfreeing the EPA. The commission can go back and take whatever measures are necessary. And if they can't, then that can be dealt with at that time.
So you're not objecting to the merger. You're saying, well, they can merge. We just want to see what the effects are.
That's right. Yes.
Well, what if the effects are bad? Then you don't want the merger. And that's already been accomplished, hasn't it?
I don't anticipate the merger itself. I can't foreclose the possibility, and then we'll be faced with that situation. What we're dealing with is a inquiry into the manner of the merger. And that's really what the commission, somebody came in and asked the commission to approve a number of things associated with the manner of the commission of the merger.
Okay, well, Counselor, that's my problem, I think, with your case. With all respect, it seems to me what you're saying is they didn't do it right. And then when I ask you, but it hasn't been done, well, we don't object to them doing it. They just didn't do it right.
the implication for the before the commission did other things besides
okay.
Can't be merged. And that's what we're getting at.
So it's all over the way. You represent the So here the end game is to see whether or not there should be one now refund or more rates going forward. Is there a question of service as well?
The question is see whether or not there are going to be unforeseen harms resulting from the arising from the merger and whether or not there are anything that should have been done to mitigate, prevent.
Are these service related or private products?
Well, sir, we don't know. That is the problem. The problem we have here is the commission decided that it's based on basis.
Now, overlaying all of this activity is the regulation.
To a certain extent.
So the world, no. Or the universe in terms of a high facility.
Nobody is talking about deregulating the distribution function as far as I'm talking about.
So this is
left as far as it is not a
service issues are an important aspect of service of what we're looking at.
Certainly, emergency would raise those kinds of concerns. That would be something we want to do. That would be an issue that would be part of the service. But again, we're not here to ask this court to tell the commission how to conduct the case.
The rate side of the issues are further impacted by the deregulation.
They all tie together
in terms of Justice Douglas on ringing the bell. It's getting ever so much more complicated as time goes on.
Well, I mean, getting back to the merger or the commission put that language in its ordinance that it will consider issues on an ongoing basis for a reason. We're only happy with the fact that, number one, that decision didn't have basis in the record. Number two, that they have shown inclination to use that basis or to preclude each consideration where it may be appropriate.
Your words were shell game. You ended up a little more something a little tougher. It's us slapping the commission around for failing to follow appropriate procedures. I mean, we can do that, but where does this thing go in terms of
it allows us to do our job to represent the commission. I'd like to return to the meeting on my time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Mr. McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Court. I am Thomas McNamara on behalf of the Utility Commission.
Counselor, you've represented to the court that everything is open, above board, and they can come in and do whatever they want to do on the rate making. Situation. In fact, in your supplemental, whatever you called it, joint motion dismissed and the appendix submitted, you make the statement clearly that they can challenge the rates.
Yes.
He says you foreclosed them.
We have not foreclosed them, Your Honor.
Well, he read me the language that you...
Your Honor, the PGR cases are before the court now. The PGR cases are retrospective. They look at rates. The PGR cases before the court now look great before November 6th, and then
you're in the court. I understand.
The merger occurred 6 weeks later or so. There were no merger effects to the been looked at in the GCR case that the court has put out. They just aren't there. There's nothing to look at. A case where an abused period of time when the murder occurred in 1917, 2019, GA GCR case, that's supplemental authority. More than that case,
you can see that there were some GCR issues in the before the merger?
The merger, one of the aspects of the merger was a consolidation of GCR, which had the effect of substantially lowering the GCR for customers in alignment in December.
But that's what they say they want to look at, isn't
it? They absolutely can. Our orders say that. Our order in 1998, GCR, which is on the said that. Our briefs say that. The commission says it again, here is the order adopting the stipulation in 1997 connecting the GCR case. And if there's any question about it, that's good.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you on the record with regard to that because you sat there and heard the same thing I heard. He said they were foreclosed. You used that language to foreclose them. Race judicata.
Make no mistake about it. They are not foreclosed. There's an administrative rule.
Where was he coming from then? What was he telling me? That's the way I read it, and when I read the commission's order, I thought that it was still an open question.
It is an open question. Should they choose?
You know, I'm beating a dead horse. He says it isn't, and you've already issued an order saying they can't look at it. That it was. Did you ever issue an order in connection with this that it was race judicata?
There is no race judicata on this issue. We have not been decided.
Okay. The administrative costs. Will you be looking at rates in B? Will you be looking at B case rates in A case proceeding on a consolidated basis?
The rates for the combined, the combined vehicle rates are reviewed in the 1917-18 GA
discharge.
Not here. And the case that the order was filed in the subcom board.
Yeah.
That's the place, because that's the period of time when the murder occurred.
Is that A case, the A case?
No, that would be the C case.
All right, I've got it now. So we've got both the A and B here.
The A and B here, the C case is the one which is the appropriate place, as we said consistently, for the review of the matter.
Are they able to review the rate, DCR rate, in B case and A case in the C case?
Look at the combined GPR is in the case that looks at the time period when those GPRs were filed.
And that's his complaint.
And that's the place to do it. And that's why the commission gave the order that it did, that it did. Now, so
you said they don't need the vice president to present.
That's good, and I guess usually we would say, well, the commission is an administrative agency, we defer to the expertise and so forth of such agencies, but usually we don't have a record that does not support the findings of the commission or the person making the decision. We always have some record. We have here findings, references to findings, that there's nothing in the record. They refer to staff, comments of staff, opinions of staff, recommendations from staff. There's nothing in the record about those. Is this unusual, do you think, for the commission, or is this typical? So again, giving deference to the commission, proper deference to the commission, how does one challenge that conclusion if there's no record to support the findings? And that seems to me to be basic. Am I missing something here?
You want to the extent that there are negative impacts. It could flow from this notice, and part of the reason that they are, they would show up in rates. And they would show up either gas cost recovery, the gas cost recovery rate, or the data. And to the extent that there are problems that crop up in common field, in those areas, there are benefits for, I guess, common notice and dealing with the program.
Well, I guess, again, the concern to me is, there's a precedent that if we say, well, the merger is already done and looks like everybody's happy, or most are happy with it, but the procedure here was unusual, not what we would expect, but then that's a signal to the commission, it seems to me, that we can do this in other cases. We can just decide how much of a record we need to make, whether we need to have a hearing. I understand that's often by statute or not. That's a given, but I guess I'm very concerned about the no record and the attitude that, well, we can decide what the record has to be. That's not usually who decides what the record has to be.
I think the unusual appearance of this, Your Honor, is probably a bring to the fact that nearly all the cases that are appealed to this court come from areas where the General Assembly has determined to require specific hearing procedures. There are rate cases, there are DSPs, there are telephone alternative regulation cases, etc. Those are the kinds of cases that tend to find their way here today for all the money. There's a vast body, much of what the commission does, falls into other categories. Much of it falls into where no procedure is required. In this case, the commission staff is the arms and legs, if you will, of the commission, and it makes recommendations. Customarily, it's not unusual for the staff in such cases in a variety of capacities to work with the attorney general, to write up draft orders. They stand up and make presentations at the commission's public discussion session on Wednesday. And that's the way much of these cases that don't have hearing requirements or don't have staff support requirements, those might actually occur. Those kinds of cases don't find their way to the court. Statements associated with this combination, precisely the
If I read... And on that issue, if I refer to OCC's issues 8 and 9, you know what I'm referring to. What does this language mean then in your order? Finally, with respect to issues 8 and 9, we have previously considered these issues in case number so-and-so 991, and therefore, there is no need to reconsider these issues herein again. Accordingly, issues 8 and 9 should not be included in the list of issues for the next MP audit. Doesn't that foreclose them?
First of all, what's going on there is the commission going out of its way to try and get additional input from consumer counsel. I don't know where any situation where the commission has ever asked or issued to anybody what the assignment to the next file.
What does that language mean, counselor?
Sure.
What that language means is defense. One of the issues simply dealt with base threat matters, which were never at issue in any.
Given. Okay.
Second issue is no issue at all. They wanted the near commission itself. They wanted the municipal performance officer to look at the combination and determine if that's on the right. Well, that's obvious. We already know that.
Okay.
7 cents on one side, 2 cents on the other. There's no reason to recalculate that. It's just me.
But they're trying to get at, and we're trying to have to decide a case on the GCR issue. The base rates are not there. It's obvious.
And the assignment that's given to the GCR auditor doesn't limit the issues in the case. That's just the assignment that's made to the auditor. People are still permitted to put on their own testimony and raise whatever issues they like because it wasn't worthwhile for the GCR auditor to hide it, look at issues that can't come up.
Okay, well, with all due respect, that language to me sounds like foreclosure language.
That was not the intent, Your Honor. That's not the function of the national
performance. Was it the effect?
No need to reconsider these issues herein again.
What's the effect of that?
Wasn't to reconsider those issues.
Because you just... But you never established a record to show that. That's, I think, what the Chief Justice is saying.
No record to support that. I mean, maybe it's true, but there's, you know, we could say that in every case that comes to us. Well, there's no record, but somebody says it's true, so that's all we need.
If there's a problem with that combination, the place to support that problem out is in the GCR case that reviews that rate. And that is the seat-based workers. They still have that option available to them. They always did. You want to see, I only have 2 minutes left. I would ask that the commission be affirmed, and I would like to give the rest of my time to Mr. Paul Roberts.
Mr. Roberts. Sure.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Paul Roberts, and I represent the Ohio. You've asked several important questions, but I want to focus only on two of them. The first is the assertion and the legitimate concern that there has been some issue conclusion here. In fact, there has been no issue conclusion. The issue of the combination of the GCR rate not only was available to be raised in what we call the C case, but it has been raised by the OCC in the C case. And the stipulation that's better to be resolving that case, listing the evidence as far as the record, you will find reference to the testimony of the OCC witness, Patricia Tanner, who addressed the very question Your Honor is concerned about, the combination of the rates, whether the proper one was based on most of the mathematical effects. Not only did the OCC have the opportunity and take the opportunity to raise those issues in the C case, they had the opportunity in the D case, and the E case, and the F case, because every year the opportunity exists to address the combination of the rates and whether it's appropriate.
And they signed on to that stipulation, did they not?
They did, Your Honor.
Now, is that matter still not pending? Could they ask for reconsideration?
Not only did they have the opportunity to raise it, not only did they raise it, not only did they sign the stipulation, but the commission in its order said, and if you misunderstood us and still want more hearings, file an application for rehearing and we'll throw out the stipulation and have a hearing. There was no issue for preclusion at any point in this process.
So you say that the C stipulation settles the A and B GCR questions.
I believe that clearly how the intended and mind. The second point, equally troublesome, raised by the Chief Justice, I think, is there a record? How do we know? We just have to take someone's word for this, and the answer, Your Honor, is that there is a record. And if you look, just for example, at the second supplement filed on behalf of the Appalachian Public Utilities Commission, you'll see at page 16, for example, a letter dated December 10, 1996, addressed to the commission containing the information that was relied on by the commission in approving the merger and making the finding. That information was referenced in the commission's order on appeal for contained. And the commission made specific findings of fact and conclusions. The test for the court, obviously, is what did the commission do? Can we understand what they did? Why did they do it? And what did they rely on?
We have a statement, but there's not evidence offered to support that, is there?
Well, in the sense that was there a proceeding in which material was submitted under oath? No, Your Honor. But the commission solicited comments and solicited filings. One of the filings relied on as part of the record is this letter providing information which really hasn't been challenged and wouldn't be challenged. The point is that the court is able to look at what the commission did and make sense. You can understand exactly what their decisions were, what the basis of those decisions were, and what they relied on when they came to the conclusion they did which they fell out. So I think that, Your Honor, just to conclude, I know the time is up, and I appreciate you letting me speak. To go back to where we started, if there was a shell game, and I don't concede that there was, but if there was, the OCC found the team. They had their hearing. They could have more hearing. They haven't been concluded from anything. I would be the last one to argue that the commission could preclude any litigant from having their day before.
That's sort of incongruous for you to argue.
My clients are more interested in anything, being sure they get a full hearing. In this case, the OCC has had its opportunity. Your Honor, so let me conclude this way. I like practicing law more than I like law school, but practicing law, you deal with real matters. These appeals should be dismissed because there's nothing left to be done. They're theoretical. The OCC wants you to give them relief, but they don't need the relief from you. They have it in their own power to put the commission in place at any time. And I submit, based on all of this, these appeals should be dismissed.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Ryan, you've saved a little over a minute of your time. Please, 2 minutes.
Thank you. First off, the recent lady signed the name of the APR to be clearly reserved commercial relations to our issues pending the court determination. So, Chief, clearly the jurisdiction of the court, not the commission. Number two, I do this. Any raise on the first related issues in the name of the GPR case, commission. Perfectly free, 696 version of our standard, point back to the language, finding nothing, the ending on the hearing, says what it says, and say, okay, you don't have to raise it, but you've already heard it.
You think they can do that, given you ordering a transcript of this proceeding? I spent considerable amount of time going through with each of them, step by step, to get it on the record that you are not foreclosed for anything.
But, Your Honor, for language of the commission in its order will still be there, and that language says we have already considered that issue. It is raised to your top. One last thing I'd like to touch upon is the fact that you can't ignore the fact that for all we know, there has been a corresponding increase in the cost of diesel and gas customers. One of the things we want to ferret out hasn't been established in the record how all that works out. It just highlights the need for a proper hearing before it to take before the commission. The last thing I'd like to touch on is the fact that only if it has to take to make to this court, and that's why 4903.09 has the starting language, you contest the case, the commission has to contest the case, it has to comply with the terms of 4903.09. Thank you, Your Honor. Once again, I request the court to amend the case, but that way the commission is right.
Thank you, Mr. Glad. The case is submitted.